100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100 word story every day until the day I die. It's right there on the domain name. Well, I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share. Because today is Sunday, which means it's your turn. I call this crazy thing the weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was a pick two. You can go to the website to see the whole list. We've got a bunch of stories this week on those topics, so let's go ahead and get right to it. The first person to step up to the plate, yeah, it's opening day, is Thomas. Thomas, let's take a swing.
The cheat books that Mary sold to her classmates were a primary source of income for Mary's family. The miniature books that Mary sold were filled with the names and dates from her art history notes for the class, and small enough to consult during the final exam in the Great Hall. The first year at State brought several hundred dollars into the family, allowing Mary and her brothers and sisters to eat properly and have some new clothes for school. Mary went on to major in finance and political science. She applied what she learned to her business and political party. On the way to fly his kite with his son, Willie, Benjamin Franklin kept tripping and falling, having drank a quart of raspberry wine to elevation, as was his habit every afternoon. His first attempt at putting his kite into the stormy sky was clumsy and awkward. He had put too much tail on the kite, and the sail was far too small for the heavy key he attached to the silk ribbon, which served to protect him from any shock. Other curious and enthusiastic gadgeteers and amateur scientists, attempting to duplicate his experiment, met a tragic death by electrocution. The vacant sign flashed on and off at the top of the dark hotel. Smedley and his lady friend, Desdemona, took the room at the end of the corridor. They undressed, had their way with each other, ate supper, then retired for the evening. Around two, they were awakened by dogs running back and forth in the hall. Smedley, a curious and audacious man, stepped in the hallway to investigate. The dogs, eyeing Smedley, stopped short and froze. Smedley was nude, and the sight of this man and the rangy display of his reproductive apparatus shocked and frightened the animals. The normal zone was open, set aside as refuge for folks that met the criteria of the corporate sponsors. Anyone visiting would have to wear a photo badge. If entering without the ID, escorts would accompany them out of the zone. Once in the zone, conversations were limited. Any mention of guns, violence, Christian dogma, and red meat were off limits. Smoking was prohibited, and drinks in a paper cup larger than 24 ounces was forbidden. Half pants, sandals with socks, white tennis shoes, hats with rain condoms, Big Ben overalls, and black stretch pants on obese women were expelled.
Oh, nobody's going to tell me how big a drink I'm going to have. Thank you, Thomas. Next up on this fine Easter Sunday is the following egg, a good egg, Jeffrey Fisher. Let's crack them open and see what's inside.
Hello, 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge listeners. This is Jeffrey Fisher with my entries for this week's challenge, a pick two. My first story is called When Giants Dream. Benjamin Franklin was one of the great thinkers of his time, a man of reason, with a love of books and a larger-than-normal capacity for nonlinear thinking. Yet Franklin had a dark side, too, one that nothing could extinguish. Although he was a successful merchant, he would occasionally fix prices with his competitors. He also invented the Sudoku puzzle. Sitting alone in his hotel, he would cheat at his own game, though this shamed him. At night, he would place his bifocals on the table beside his bed and, falling asleep, would reflect on the untrustworthy nature of man before zoning out. Okay, having slandered the founder of my alma mater, I guess we'll go on to story number two, entitled Void. The spaceship fell out of hyperspace into what should have been a well-mapped solar system. Instead, the display showed nothing, a dark void. The instruments were not dead, but gave no readings at all. The hyperdrive did not respond. A small bead of perspiration developed on Barry's forehead. He was as nervous as he'd ever been in his life, more so than on his first trip into the blackness of H-space. He had heard that jumps between normal and H-space could go badly wrong, trapping a ship permanently in a state of quantum uncertainty. Of course, no one had ever returned from such an event, so the theory had to remain unproven. Until now.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I regret having cracked open your pretty shell to find the goopy goodness inside, because it was such a pretty shell. Oh, well. That's what you get. See, the truth is you're supposed to poke a tiny little hole in the top and a tiny hole in the bottom and then blow it all out. That's how we were taught when I was little. Although some people would suck the egg out, and that was just wrong. Don't let Rocky fool you. It's... thank you, Jeffrey. Next up, we have Batgirl Questy, who is on a quest to entertain you and infotain you. What is infotainment?
Bare trees, sunlight fading, snow falling. The power's been out for hours now. The slain sounds of the modern world arise like ghosts, manifesting in the empty space they've left behind. I'm haunted in the still silence by myriad gifts that are almost invisible in their ever-presence. My family's love, my body's health, my clear mind, the countless comforts of our first-world prosperity. What a waste, what a shame, to only appreciate the bounty of life in needful retrospect. May we be fully present within our lives. May we savor the grace of each moment in conscious awareness.
Thank you, Batgirl. Next up we have Richard, who stands upon the shoulders of giants. What he sees up there is probably neck hair, maybe look in somebody's ear for earwax, or if they're looking back at him, right up their nose. That's what you see from the shoulders of giants. What you hear from the shoulders of giants is this.
Well, hello. Two more stories this week, the first of which is called Heliosphere. We were falling, inexorably falling into the heart of the sun, scattered around the cabin, an array of equipment and spare parts, tubing, duct tape, circuit boards, even used food containers, all that we had to work with. And we were out of ideas. Mission Control had their best minds on the job, teams of experts desperately puzzling over how those few items could save our lives. The radio crackled. Guys, our work down here is concluded. Great news, Houston. Can you fix it? That's a negative. But look at the bright side, guys. You're all going to die heroes. I do apologize about my appalling American accent there, which is only marginally better than my real one. Anyway, second story, this one's called Wake Up Call. George's eyes snapped open. How long had he been out cold? And why had the familiar sounds of the busy hospital been replaced by utter, deafening silence? Why indeed was the ward in disarray? And where were the patients, the staff, anybody? In hospital gown and bare feet, George limped along the empty corridors. through windows, snatched glimpses of a desolate and empty city. George was no fool. He'd seen the films. He recognised the all-too-familiar signs. What was this? Zombie apocalypse? Alien invasion? Or carnivorous sentient plants? One thing was sure. Things would never be normal again.
Thank you, Richard. And your accent isn't so bad, especially when you consider how so many people on this side of the pond completely mangle words even worse than that. Speaking of mangling words, let's see what happens north of the border. Not north of the Mexico-U.S. border, but north of that other border that it's not really much of a border. I don't know why we defend it. It just, it's us there. It's like, okay, let's see if we can hassle people just going up to the suburbs. That's right. It's Muncie. Muncie hasn't killed me yet, by the way. Yet.
Greetings, March Hares. Make yourself aware. I've got a story to share, so be prepared. You've got to care. Don't stop and stare. Put your hands in the air, shake your derriere. I got style, I got flair, I got savoir faire. Step into my lair, pull up a chair. You're the board and I'm the chair, so if you'll bear with me, I got rhymes to spare. On a related note, I'm going to have to up my game significantly if I'm ever going to release that Nerdcore album. That was disappointing. Here's a story. Highway, by Christopher Monroe. I was driving unreasonably fast, considering how dark it was. Still, nobody'd ever accused me of being reasonable, and the music playing had me pumped up, feeling invincible, unstoppable, like nothing in the world could touch me. And as I sped through the night, I threw back my head in triumph and joy, and sang along as it played. Highway to the danger zone. I flipped the car, naturally. I was speeding and singing rather than paying attention to where I was going. Nobody's fault but mine. What did I expect, after all, from a place called the Danger Zone? Broken Escalator or ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com are both ways in which you can read more of what I've written, and I promise they're both better than my rapping. My tweets are at Munzee Munzee, but I can't promise they're better than my rapping. Thus concludes your month as the March Hares. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it immensely. In fact, now I go out like a... Is it lamb or lion? I don't remember. Maybe a lamb in a lion. That's kind of... Well, a lion in a lamb would be silly. Rather shocking. I don't know. Next up is Lizzie Goodcough, who... In her myriad, is myriad? In her plethora, she writes a lot. And here's some of the stuff that she's righted.
Hello, everyone. This week we had so much to choose from that I wrote two stories. The first one is called Oh Stupidity Alert. And emphasis on the O. Oh. You'll understand why as I read the story. The hotel lounge was covered in bookshelves. At first, he thought they were just shelves. Oh, no, bookshelves, corrected the receptionist. But where are the books? Oh, no idea. The blatant disinterest of the young lady bothered him. How do you know these are bookshelves? Oh, I know, she muttered. Did someone tell you? Oh, no. He always expected her to say more. How frustrating. Right. I'll buy a book tomorrow and place it on that shelf. Ah, we don't need books gathering dust here. Bookshelves gather dust too. Oh, not as much. He sighed helplessly and thought, oh dear. Okay, this was my first story. The second story is called To Fix or To Cheat. A veterinarian was investigated after the scandal. Hordes of puppy litters were born despite the best efforts of dog owners. So, the vet was forced to follow the rules, but he would still bend them occasionally just to make an extra buck. He could always question if the male pets neutered by him really fathered those puppies. The ineffective spaying would be a bit more difficult to explain, though. One day, a dog about to be neutered overheard a conversation between the vet and his assistant. To fix or to cheat? All the anxious dog could think of was, "Cheat! Cheat!" All right. These were my stories for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com or drop by ires.com where I post my stories every now and then. Also, you can get in touch with me through the usual channels, Twitter, email, Facebook, Pinterest, Rebel Mouse, and I'm probably forgetting something. So, anyway, you get the message. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
She's on all those things. Aren't we all? We connect up in so many ways and yet feel so distant. Thank you, Lizzie, for pointing that out. Next up, speaking of distant, what is the distance between a Zach and a man? Nothing, because here's Zach Man. Unless you put a pause in there.
You see, my partner is very upset. Nunzio is all besides himself because our books say you owes our boss some Abraham Lincolns. If and you don't do something to fix this, Nunzio is likely to fall into a dark zone in which there will be no reasoning with him. There is nothing to be doing but to be giving in to Nunzio before he gets really upset. Sculptors who upset Nunzio normally find themselves alone in hotel rooms. That is a cheat on my part, because usually housekeeping finds what's left of them. Okay, take both the Lincoln busts. They're yours.
You know, I could go for a bust of Abraham Lincoln right about now. Do they have a special edition of the Lincoln movie and Blu-ray that comes with a bust of Abraham Lincoln, where the box can be folded into one? That would be kind of special. They would never think of that. Thank you, Zach Man, for pointing that out. Next up, we have Tora Bregianu. I'm surprised that I can pronounce Bregianu after 17 cups of coffee. Yeah, I was off the coffee last week because I'd freaked out the week before. Now I'm back on it. I'm trying not to go too overboard. I've got to go to, you don't speak of opening day baseball as you've got to go to. The Houston Astros have this thing called dynamic pricing, which is any of the games that you'd want to go to, they charge twice as much, and any of the games no one wants to go to are practically free. Isn't that great? Dicks. So, being the worst team in baseball... Oh, they played the second worst team in baseball for the last two exhibition games. They tied the Cubs, and then they beat them, and now the Rangers are coming to pulverize them. Although the Rangers have lost some of their punch. Josh Hamilton and a few others have left. And who knows what Lance Berkman is capable of. He's fairly witty, but he's not known for his speed game. Here's Tura on the subject of baseball.
Philosophers drew burning oil out of the earth. General Wei turned their fire back on them and destroyed them and their works. Philosophers compassed the nullification of gravity. General Wei seized their flying machines and hunted down the philosophers, destroying them and their works. Philosophers discern the fundamental reasonings of clerks and secretaries. General Wei seized their computing engines and computed their destruction. He said of these matters, "Change brings disorder. Order must be maintained." Then he commanded his scribes to record these things in a book never to be opened, entitled The Critique of Pure Reason by Practical Reason.
Oh, no, 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 no. We have no practical reason here. We have no reason for doing any of this, but for its own sake. Well, some of you are under the delusion that there's fame and riches and rewards coming. Next thing you know, there'll be acceptance. Not happening. And I will do my best to prevent it, because it is better that we struggle and scriven within our little cubbyholes and produce art, as opposed to produce, well, whatever passes for art once you've become successful and have given up that struggle, I think. Whatever, I know that the first moment that someone gets famous, everyone's going to be piling on them. Take me with you! Right. Thank you, Tura. Little commentary there as I clear my throat a few dozen times. Coffee. You know what goes down good like coffee? It's Tom. Tom, let's have some updates. Oh, and a story, too.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. We've got two new authors in the ranks of the 100 Monkeys. Rich at the 82nd position, and Dondo at the 76th. Movement. Daphne, after a long absence, passed Jay Rasmussen into the 33rd position, just behind Almo Schumann. Thomas moves ahead of TJ, becoming the 7th Monkey. In the quest for iron, Muncie displaces Anima Zebaleta to take the 9th place with 81 weeks in a row, while Zackman is a mere 16 stories shy of Iron Monkey status. But the best news of the week is Singh has sent in 101 stories and thus may be anointed by the founder with Golden Monkey status. Yay, Singh. Tonight's story is called Colonial Mashup. I fixed the cheat, so I added it to one of my zone books. Normally I find my advice falls beside the wayside of the Dark Hotel. Nothing under the sun is new, nor the reason we carry on. Benjamin Franklin was rather fond of writing crap like this to fill up the space in that damn magazine of his. I, for one, just want to know when it's going to fucking rain. Forget the furlongs, the fortnight conversion tables, or the pithy commentary on life. Cram it, Benny. Let out some more string on that kite, if you catch my drift.
Thank you, Tom. I'm going to go ahead and put Sing up there on the Golden Monkeys page. Do I have everyone there? It's 100, right? Not just 100 in a row? It's so hard. You got Iron Monkeys, you've got Golden Monkeys, you've got... Are there Platinum Monkeys? I don't know. Double Platinum Monkeys. All these... monkeys. Right. I should just... Let's keep going. Oh, what? Bonchance and Sevi are back. Oh, cool. I've been wondering where they are. And the dog. Let me see. Oh, no. They don't have any stories about Pablo or... What was his name again? I think it was Pablo. I'm not sure. How soon we forget. Benjamin Franklin wouldn't have forgotten. Let's play the stories.
Crap Mariners, 100 Word Challenge. This is a pick two from several words on the 100 Word Challenge. The words are fix, cheat, zone, books, normal, falling, beside, dark, hotel, nothing, reason, then Ben Franklin. And we chose two of those words somewhere in our stories. These are collaborative works between Severina Halostar and Bonchance Longfall. The first story, Ben. I once read a peculiar story about domestic turkeys. Several of them drowned in falling rain because they looked up. I didn't research the validity of this tall tale, but domestic turkeys are not very bright. It reminded me about how our founding fathers argued over selecting our national bird. It is providence that the eagle won out. Benjamin Franklin had a great deal of influence in these discussions. Documentation highlights that Ben strongly endorsed the turkey for our national bird. The wild turkey must truly be a majestic bird. I base this on a rather high opinion of Mr. Franklin. And the next story is Better Than Spinach. I found myself in a desert with not much more than water. Spring in the desert is fascinating. Delicate flowers debut, peeking through the silky sand. Tumbleweed foraging across the plain threatens the delicate flora. The falling sunset and cloak of dark chills the desert air. A campfire, a steaming warm pot of spiced water can be inviting. Just mix up a spice or two, add water, and a small sphere of the youngest wind witch, and you have yourself a tasty meal. A nice dinner before curling up under warmth of your blanket, before the day's heat rises once again. And that's the two stories that Sevi and I wrote this week for Crap Mariner's 100 Word Challenge. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonchance and Sevi. Okay, I'm looking through the Astro's Shop, Kindle Fire Case, no, iPad Mini Case, no, Ticket Stand, apparently you put your ticket inside of there to show it off, how much of a sucker you are, even though most people end up printing them online. 22-ounce Travelmate water bottle, a toddler baseball hoodie that's ugly as heck, a 16-ounce tumbler so that if you're ever in New York, you're not violating the law. This is just sad. Huh. Next thing you know, someone might actually buy a ticket. Oh, wait, I did. Okay, so next up, Daphne Abernathy has returned once again. Her hooking up the thing in the this and the that, and that she hasn't frozen to death with this winter. So that's good news, I say. So here is Daphne and her story, and oh boy.
Hi, this is Daphne Abernathy, and this is my entry for the 100 Word Story Weekly Challenge, this week's topic, a pick two. And if you hear meowing in the background, that's Baxter, who's decided to just join me now. All right, here's my story. Be careful, this next block is a falling book zone. Well, more of a throwing book zone. There's a guy on the fifth floor who's been throwing books for about a week. He screams something about, "I read the book first!" and then pegs some poor guy with a Tolkien. I think it was all the Game of Thrones hype. It just got to him. It's everywhere. And Martin's so busy with the show, he isn't writing the last two books. So be careful. Do not run in a straight line, okay? Go. Serpentine! Serpentine! Ooh! A storm of swords to the head. That's ironic and painful.
That does sound painful. I just... no throwing books around here. And no throwing notebooks either. Those things are very fragile. Thank you, Daphne. And thank you, Baxter, for contributing. Yeah, Miss is on, I think she's on the bed. She doesn't talk much, unless, you know, I want to go out. And then, where's little tin goddess here? I don't see her anywhere, which means she's causing trouble somewhere, sleeping on something she shouldn't. That is one sleepy cat. Wait, hold on. No, she's not in that chair. Nope, no more podcasts. That sucks. You know, I remember the days when Piper would be at my feet, or when I first started, Edlo glomped in once or twice, but, you know, the podcast started right before she died. Frisky would fluff around her, but he wouldn't talk much. Nardo? Oh, he was my buddy. He would hang out with me and jump across my lap now and then, or I'd pet him. And Bruin? Oh, yeah, he would hang out. He wouldn't meow much. In fact, I don't think he meowed at all on the podcast. He wouldn't go yerp, yerp. And if you pet his tummy, he wouldn't... You know, he was pretty noisy in the mornings, though. I kind of miss that. Now, we had thought that little Tinny would be, you know, a meower. But, no. Oh, well. Things could be worse. However, things are going to get a little better here, now that we have Serendipity. Reading this.
We were about to enter the zone. A warning buzzer sounded, accompanied by amber flashing lights. Nervously, we looked at each other, fidgeting now in our seats. A bead of sweat trickled down my back, and I shivered, in fear of the unknown. Our guide's voice crackled over the intercom.
When we enter the zone, please remember to keep alert. Ensure you report anything that doesn't appear to be normal behavior.
Thoroughly spooked, I jabbed at the reply button. Define, doesn't appear to be normal. The response was worrying.
Oh, irrational fears. Shivers. Fidgeting. Cold sweats. That kind of behavior.
Dang. Kind of reminds me of the last time I went in for a checkup for my elbow. Oh, thank you. Serendipity. Next up, Christine Kristen. Yay! And she recorded it, so I don't have to do a high squeaky voice. Because those are kind of... here's her story. Oh, she said, damn it! Now with MP3 attached. I love it when people send in the story and they forget to attach the MP3, especially when they realize it before I produce this thing, as opposed to when I'm like, oh yeah, I should probably check these before I get to producing, you know, give people a few days. And then it's like, didn't you get my MP3? It's like, no, I didn't. I didn't send it. Oh, I sent it! And it's like, no, I didn't get it. Oh, you should have written me. Yeah, okay. Here's her story.
My name is Kristen, and I am bad at following directions. Here is my 100-word story for the challenge pick 2. Are you ready for this responsibility? Her father asked. Yes, yes, she shouted. She had proved herself with the fish, hadn't she? The rabbit was no problem either. He took her hand and they walked together toward the giant glass enclosure. Now, you can only pick 2, he said, even though I know you want them all. She did want them all. She wanted the big one in front jumping to get her attention, the stripy one going in circles, the shy one in the corner. Finally, she chose a pair of siblings, curled up together. Best lobster dinner ever.
Oh, yeah. That's how you pick them. It's been a while since I've picked out a lobster. I don't know. It's like, oh, that one will match my cufflinks. You know, it's been a while since I wore cufflinks. Oh, thank you, Kristen. See, I always get it backward. Christine. I don't know. It would help if I had a cat advising me. Oh, there you are. She's on the other side of the coffee table. Hi. Hello, little girl. Hello. You know what I got right here? I got a red laser dot. Squee! She always stretches before she goes for a chase. And come on, chase it, dingbat. Why are you so wobbly? You tired? Come on. Okay, up the chair. Come on, jump. Yeah, I know this is exciting, right? And she's staring at the dot. Usually she runs all over things and crawls up on chairs and jumps and Nope, it's too early in the morning for her to get all excited. What, you want some coffee too? Oh, now she jumps. Silly cat. Alright, next story is going to be by Red Goddess. Oh no, what is she doing to Lola now? Celebrities often claim that they just want a normal life, like broke, ordinary people. Stars get tired of being followed by fans and photographed in their most vulnerable moments. Ironically, the normal people crave the limelight and the money that affords celebrities a lavish lifestyle. They get in debt buying stuff celebrities sell. The dark truth is, normalcy is an illusion. Lola doesn't want either one, since she's witnessed the pitfalls of both. What she yearns is to chase her dreams on her own terms. Oh, Lola, don't we all? We want to have all the wealth and the riches, but none of the costs that come with it. And then, we want privacy, we want privacy. Well, you got into this situation by selling your privacy, selling your right to keep things off the table. That's what you sold to get famous, right? Fame is selling of what you are, or what you make people think you are. And then you're surprised when people believe it. You know, I should check the weather forecast. Red Goddess, thank you for the good weather here. Let's see. Doesn't matter if it rains because it's a, you know, a covered stadium. Let's see. Chance of thunderstorm. Chance of thunderstorm. Oh, crap. Be coming home in a thunderstorm? That sucks. See, opening day, they're going to have food trucks and all that, but that's going to get rained out. And then people aren't going to be able to go in because the gates won't open until later. So people are going to get pissed off. Ah, oh, great. Okay, so bring an umbrella. Bring a change of underwear. Oh, right. Another story. This one's by Miata Stardust. She's back. And everyone likes Miatas. They're fun. Okay. Okay, imagine using a Miata to pull a, like, tow a boat. Okay? They're fun! So, here's Miata. Pick two, any two, the carny worker yelled as I walked by. Mom had told me never to look at anyone from the carnival. Obedient, I did as I was told and walked even faster. I got to the trailer and handed Mama her pills. She was so sick, and this time I was really worried. As she lay in her bed, I went outside. Dear God, I began to pray. Please help my mama. Please don't take her. I heard a cough. Startled, I turned to see the man from the carnival. His weather-beaten lips whispered, Amen. Thank you, Miata. But don't look at the carnival man. Coming there to rob you. You know, oh, she's in there and sick. All right, she can't defend herself. I'll go ahead and steal everything, including the toaster. Who steals toasters these days? That'll be next week's weekly challenge. Steal a toaster. No, don't write a story. Just steal a toaster. Post a photo of it. Hold it for ransom. Oh, great. Now I'm going to write a story about it. While I'm busy writing a story about a ransomed toaster, how about a little helping of Cliff, otherwise known as Uncle Monster? But you'll see him up at the post office for stealing toasters.
In the end, there was no pain. The world faded and darkness folded over him. When the darkness lifted, he saw that he wasn't alone. She was with him. Hello, love. Hello yourself, she said with a chuckle. Took you long enough. He sat up, and for the first time in years, his joints didn't hurt. So, this is heaven? Not exactly. None of the stories got it right. So what is it? It's more amazing than we ever imagined. As long as you're beside me, I'll be happy with whatever it is. She took his hand in hers. Always.
Aw, a sad one. Yeah, allowed to do sad ones. Not allowed to do ones that are emotional and caring and decent. We're all about the weird and the sick here, you cruel person, making us feel. Thank you, Cliff. No, that wasn't an April Fool. So I had this April Fool's prank planned out, right? And then I was going to buy all the stuff today on the way to the baseball game and then set it up. And everything's closed for Easter. That's just annoying. Oh, well, there goes that plan. Isn't that right, Tinny? Tinny's just sitting there in pause mode. Okay, let's get you to spin with the laser dot. Whee! Barfy kitty! Actually, I've never seen her puke. Yet. Come on, keep spinning. Keep spinning. Keep spinning! And she's doing that head wobbly thing now. Gotcha! Eek! If you're not gonna meow, you will entertain me. Speaking of entertaining me, how about some Steven the Nuclear Man? What's he been up to?
Steven the Nuclear Man here. This week's story I wrote briefly while at Marcon and recording in between times out there. I hope you enjoy it. Don't forget to stop by sidekicks.alliterationinc.com and check out the new anthology that I published. It's got some really awesome stories in it. Digital copies are only $5, y'all. And if you want to hear me sing, stay tuned. There should be an announcement later this week. On with the story. He groaned as she rubbed his shoulders. "That's cheating," he whispered. "And you're objecting so strongly." She ran her lips along his ear. Her voice grew husky. "Take your shirt off." He rolled over on the bed. "Ladies first." Later, as they rested on the sweaty hotel sheets, he whispered, "I'm falling for you." The succubus smiled and turned to kiss him and claim his soul, and was surprised to hear herself say, "I'm falling for you too." She was more surprised to find her horns locked with those of her incubus lover. They laughed and kissed again and again.
Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man. And if you want me to drive people away, have me sing. It was always on my mind. It was always on my mind. Whew. Disk space remains for recording 105 hours. Oh, good. I can keep recording for 105 hours. Oh, and 28 minutes. That's important. You know, for that last 28 minutes, in case I didn't make my point clear. Mm-hmm. Tammy Kibler is back. Yay! I wonder if she's got... here. Well, yeah, all right. People can follow me on Twitter. Tammy Kibler, I write about writing, social media, and technology. And I'm told that 98% of my Twitter followers are real. Does she just imagine the other 2%? Oh, Justin Bieber. Yeah. I don't understand the quest for numbers. Let's just hear her story. MTA Window by Tammy Kibler. It is not for a lack of a nickel, but if he pays to exit the train, he'll admit I won the bet. He said he was going to visit his cousin. I knew he was lying. I also knew my Charlie to be a betting man who never read the front page of the newspaper. Now he's trapped on the train. Like any gambler over his head, he prays for a miracle. In Roxbury, I imagine his doxy watches our story in the papers with growing dismay. Charlie can never leave town, since he became a tool of the socialists. Thank you, Tammy. You know, it's great being a tool of the socialists. I love it. It's awesome, although I'm kind of a socket wrench, in English measurement, and everyone wants to use regular wrenches in metric. I just sit there gathering dust. Take me out of your toolkit sometime, eh? It's pathetic, come on. Speaking of pathetic come-ons, you'll never hear that kind of crap from Norval Joe. This man's honest and a straight shooter. Shoot us straight, Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of the Master of Macabre, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 362 with the prompt of pick two. Here are two stories. Slowly now, lift your visor of your protective suit, the border guard said, pointing at Borel's helmet with his blaster rifle. Our visas are in order, but we left them back in the hotel in Dublinville, Borel said after lifting the visor. Who's we? Do you have a snorkel in your pocket? The guard laughed. Flirty froze. His gray second-skin dermal suit blended with the dark, rich soil of the stream bank. I've got nothing in my pocket, Borel said, not understanding the guard's joke. You're in a restricted zone, funny boy. I'm taking you in. Now move out. Durgle started awake, the bowl of cold spaghetti falling from his lap. He sat on the edge of the couch, wondering what woke him. Someone hammered on the front door. Coming, he shouted, getting to his feet and hurrying to peek through the long window beside the door. Widow Finkelstein, it's awfully late, he began. She cut him off. If you don't do something about your wiener dog, I'll fix him myself. Her face was beet red. He understood her anger. There's no cute way to combine the names Border Collie and Dachshund. Bordockily? Docky Collar? How about Wiener Collie? Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yes, we will see you next week. Bright and early and shiny, shooting it to us straight. Did I say shoot us straight? I meant shooting it to us straight. Oh, I hope you haven't shot anyone. Especially, don't shoot Justin. He just came back. He didn't record his story, but that's okay. He just had a birthday. You know, that kind of thing. All the singing. By the way, the flavor of, I think that's cherry wood. I can't tell. I'm getting back into the habit of lighting incense during these. Oh, such beautiful things in the air. What is it, Tinny? Hello, bright-eyed kitty. Where's my Dot? Where's my Dot? She loves her Dot. I probably ought to take the trash out. All right, so, oh, crap, I didn't... Oh, I should have started laundry. Uh-oh. Okay, I'm going to go ahead... Damn it, I'm supposed to write these things down. All right, here's Justin's story. Josh and I were playing the new expansion for Jedi Knight named Mysteries of the Sith. It was just the two of us running around a map hacking each other with lightsabers. I told Josh, who was playing in the same room as me, to find me on the map and that I wanted to take a picture of him. Eventually, we found each other on the large map. I told him to just stand there near the cliff. Then I tried to use the force push power and sent him screaming over the edge. I laughed and laughed and laughed. Okay, that's the challenge one. And now, several weeks late, is a story for St. Patrick's Day. Games are educational, even the games that aren't specifically so. For instance, while playing Gateway, I learned two things. I learned that Tom could be spelled Thom with an H. I also learned some social skills. When I needed some information from Thom, I had no idea why he kept looking at someone else's drink. So I asked Dad, who also had played the game, about Thom. I was corrected when I pronounced the H. He said that I was supposed to buy him a drink. Now I know a little bit about subtle hints as well. Education by gaming. Hey, that taught me something, too. I shouldn't pronounce Tom's name Thom. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Justin.
Spectral.
Oh, right. What? Oh, we got one from Danny's back. Yay, Danny's back. And, oh, I don't need to read that. Never mind. Okay, here's Danny's story, and this is going to be exciting. Whee!
Hello, hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 3... 40, 50, 60... I don't know. Oh, who gives a crap? Get it? Anyway, here's the story for this week. Actually, this isn't really a story. This is actually a response to a nonsensical post to my WordPress page from a guy named Dennis. This is my response. To exactly what are you responding to? I have no idea, but it seems to be relevant in your mind. Anyway, in some sad yet demented way, I get to use an enormous amount of commas in my response to you. Unfortunately, I, comma, in your mind, comma, am only armed with a shovel. I can use only in a distinct way, comma, said shovel cannot be used while shopping at garage sales, which only makes sense, comma, since using a shovel to shop at garage sales will likely result in an arrest for assault with a deadly weapon, period. Great point, period. Good luck with your disadvantaged post to Craigslist. If my legal career has taught me anything, only sexual predators post there. So please beware if you're trying to buy a car, the Honda you're eyeing up is more than likely just a penis. Sweet dreams. Oh, if any of the two words I was supposed to include in the story were not included, let me finish by stating, fix the cheat zone before the books become normal enough to make it sound like falling beside dark hotels leaves nothing to reason. That is all.
You know, that was a pretty elegant way of including all the topics. I'm impressed. Oh, thank you, Danny. And watch where you swing that shovel. Speaking of swinging things, it's time for that swinging guy, Sing. Will you swing, sing, sting? No. Sing. I'm not gonna laser dot. No, we're almost done. I need to focus on this, then I need to go do laundry. That way you can sit on the piles of clean clothes and make them all hairy. See, the problem is with the black cats, you can't really see the black hair because I wear mostly black. But now that we have a mostly white cat, oh, she sheds. Thank you, kitten. Yeah. Well, she's getting all her splotchies in. Her back colors? Well, they're not really colors. They're shades of gray with a little bit of very subtle orange. Looks more like tan. So, she's not exactly a colorful cat. It's not like cats are bright green or bright, well, okay, Narda was bright orange. So was Fluffball. So, here's Sing and his stories.
Naming islands. These are my two peas in a pod, she said.
Yes, madam. After your shipwreck and being in your condition, I have thought of two names, the captain, her rescuer said. With that, he inscribed each new island on the nautical map. We are in your debt, Captain. Will you stand also as godfather? A tear fell, spreading an atoll of ink on the parchment, as affectionately he touched the twins, each at the fontanelle. Then, clearing emotion from his throat, said, Zephyr and Zephyrian, welcome, children born of the storm.
Cut! Good job, everyone. We're done today, said the director.
Pick one, pick two, pick me, pick you. Pick one, pick two, pick me, pick you.
Kangaroo Rescue.
Multiple breaks. She has to be put down, the vet said. He nodded. Unable to hop, she'd never survive in the bush. Her kangaroo mother had already ended up as roadkill. After the injection, he brought Susie back in the pillowcase, still doubling as a Joey's pouch, to bury her. Meanwhile, back home, two other heads poked from pillowcases, hooked to his bed posts. They were hungry. He filled baby bottles with formula. Drink, drink, he sing-songed. The babies suckled obediently. Three ruse make a mob better able to survive dingoes, but fate had cheated, leaving just two. Why? He wondered. Why? Easter gift. He'd found $5 in the loading zone darkness, but inside, the supermarket had too many aisles. He wandered, dazed, confused. Thinking him a vagrant shoplifter, the manager yelled, Hey! I got money, see? The tramp said, rattled. He grabbed some biscuits and scampered to the checkout. Now the hot cross buns on display troubled him. Jesus, Jesus! Bring them, whispered the checkout girl, ringing up zeros, yet bagging both, because she felt his trouble. Five exactly, she said, and then returned $5 in change. Thank you. Do have a very happy Easter, sir. He gasped. She winked. Speed dating.
I've had sex with my brother. I'm a cop undercover.
We've met it, must be fate. Perhaps, but cut your rage. Sex toys might be fun. Beware, I have a gun. Pick one, pick two, pick me, pick you. Pick one, pick two, pick me, pick you. I've had a mastectomy. I survived a mastectomy. I'm noisy, hyperbolic. I'm labeled an alcoholic. Do you cook? Do you sing? Are you straight? Do you swing? Hey, baby, let's play bamba. I don't give out my number. Pick one, pick two. Pick me, pick you. Pick one, pick two. Pick me, pick you. Pick two, pick one. Stay you. Pick none. Pick two, pick one. Stay you. Pick none. Stay you.
You know, if I'm going to be working up a new theme, I should just hand that off to Sing and let him do something. I mean, that was kind of right, you know, discoing kind of thing. He should write the theme for... Who needs a theme written? Thank you, Sing. That was cool. All right. What? One more? Yeah, why not? I'm sure that there's going to be a late one, too. There always is. It's like, oh, why'd you rush it? No, there's not going to be an Empire Avenue mission. So, you saw the avalanche of comments for like a month, and then they sort of dried up because I stopped doing Empire Avenue missions, and you saw the difference. You know, all these people, and look back at the comments they said. You know, oh, I go to hell all the time. It's like, ugh, lying sack of crap. Because they didn't come back. You know, little points here, little social networking kudos, little pats on the back, little, oh, I'll click you and you click me and we'll have search engine optimization specialties and I'm a guru. Yeah, well, you're a total Philistine when it comes to culture, jackass. And speaking of which, okay, Tammy is good folks. She's come back. Rick Myers is good folks. You know, these are honest folks that come in and actually have taken up the challenge to write and create and express themselves. But all the rest were like, oh, click me, click you, 10,000 Eves, and oh, that, and they'll make you famous. And no, you're going to wind up being scoffed at by Lola and me and Planet Z.
Books keep falling off the shelf, says the hotel manager. He wants me to fix it. The shelf looked normal to me. No reason for the books to fall. Then, in the dark, the ghost of Benjamin Franklin appeared, and the ghost of a hooker appeared beside him. Tell the ghost of my wife nothing, he hissed, and he proceeded to bang the hell out of that hooker. They shook the wall, which knocked books loose. Can you hire a librarian, hooker? I asked. Benjamin laughed and vanished. The next time, she stayed to reshelf the books. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. If this show inspired you to write on the topic of these pick two topics, send in the story with a recording, and I'll add it to the main feed all by itself. You Johnny-come-lately Johnny. Until next week, where the topic will be Carrot. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.